This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dave Waltermeyer. He is a security automation architect, computer security division up at NIST. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm well, John. Thank you for allowing me to come on your program.
Oh, no, it's not allowing you. I wanted you to come in here. I tell my kids, you go up to NIST and you swing a dead cat and you just get hit PhDs everywhere. There's just so many smart people up there. I'm amazed. Isn't it amazing the people you work with up there?
I am every day.
Yeah. I mean, guys like Ron Ross, you know, I mean, just go down the list. I've been up there several times and I've never walked out of there going, wow, I want to understand all this stuff. And I always check my watch because that's the place to check your watch up at NIST.
It's a great group of people.
Yeah. Well, what NIST does is it kind of acts as a facilitator and a coordinator for lots of different things. And one of the things they facilitate is maybe, you know, helping federal folks and commercial folks improve the way they handle computer security. That's really a big picture. When you try to narrow it down, they work in many different areas. What they do is they put together conferences and they say, look, we're going to put a bunch of smart people in a room. You can sit in the back and listen to what they have to say with many different topics. And that's what we're going to focus on today. NIST and a conference that's coming up in October. And before we begin talking about this conference and SCAP, Dave, could you give us a little bit about your background, how you wound up at NIST, please?
Sure. I started out working for internet service providers as a systems and network engineer. And one of the things, no offense to systems and network engineers, but you know, we're inherently lazy. We want to automate as much of the process as possible.
The first honest man I've had on the air.
and so that got me into, you know, writing scripts, looking to automate software, which, you know, brought me to the security automation work at NIST. At NIST, I'm focused on the development of broadly adopted international standards that enable, you know, computers to assist humans to perform a variety of security activities. Those activities include ensuring that assets are configured properly, that patches are installed, and that security practitioners have efficient access to relevant security information.
You know, it's a fair central repository for information. I mean, if I would go to a big security company, I don't know, Symantec, well, they're going to have an angle on everything. If you go to another security company for mobile security, well, they're going to have an angle. And, well, finally, the guys up at NIST, at least I think, you know, the ones I've met up there, they try to be objective and try to present things in a fair manner and try to get both sides of this whole idea of security. And it's a major problem. I don't think we have to tell anyone about security issues in the world today. In fact, headlines today are FBI and iPad addresses and the president's iPad. And it's a hot topic for everyone listening. I want to take and focus today on this SCAP concept and talk about the conference. From your perspective, what exactly is SCAP, Security Content Automation Protocol? What is it? And give us some of its origins, please.
Sure. So SCAP is really a combination of things. It's a collection of specifications, which, you know, are essentially technical requirements that that tell people how to implement tools that support configuration and vulnerability management. It's made up of multiple component specifications that include XML-based data exchange languages, standardized identifier enumerations, and various measurement systems. It's also an overarching specification. We call that specification Special Publication 800-126 that's available on csrc.nist.gov under publications. And this publication defines how you use these various component specifications together to enable interoperability between tools that support configuration and vulnerability management activities.
So if something is SCAP certified, does that have anything to do with NIST, or is this a third-party organization, or who does this certification, or what exactly does that mean?
Sure. We run an SCAP validation program under the National Voluntary Lab Accreditation Program.
NVLAP?
NVLAP. And what we do there is we accredit third-party testing laboratories to perform testing on various commercial tools. And they establish a business relationship essentially with the product vendor. They perform the testing. They send the test reports to us. We validate the test reports to make sure that everything is in order, and then we issue a validation for the product. And that's essentially what it means when a product is SCAP validated.
So if, let's say, just for fun, let's say John Gilroy here comes up with a Gilroy scanner, and I submit it to ABC Company, and they put their imprimatur on it, an old Latin word, they put their certification on it, and they say, yes, this complies with standards for SCAP. And then I go knock on the door of DHS and go, hey, DHS, I've got this product, take a look at it. So there's a third party involved here. Is that what's going on?
Well, the third party is testing to make sure that the product properly implements the SCAP specifications. So there's a minimal level of assurance, essentially, that the product is functioning appropriately.
When did SCAP begin, and how long has it been around?
It's hard to place a date on when SCAP began. Certain components of SCAP, like the common vulnerabilities and exposures, which is one of the identifier enumerations for vulnerability identifiers, it started over 10 years ago. Most of the work on SCAP has occurred within the last 6 or 7 years.
Has SCAP been applied mostly to federal IT, or has the private world picked it up also, or is different worlds here?
Sure. So certainly the adoption of SCAP has been very significant in the federal IT market. I've talked with representatives of many different agencies. You know, they've acquired and have used SCAP products. There's also indications that SCAP is being used by major retail companies and by some financial institutions.
Hmm. So is this a national standard, international standard? Where does this fit in, you know, I guess in the broad, this is Washington, D.C., people from all over the world live here. Where does it fit in that perspective?
Sure, that's a great question. So we've intentionally designed SCAP to support multiple languages using various internationalization techniques. This has led to use in quite a few countries. To name a few examples, SCAP is used in Japan by the Japanese Vulnerability Database.
Hmm.
One of our validation labs is based in Canada. And another area is the Spanish government has been providing translations for vulnerabilities that are stored in the NVD based on SCAP data for many years now.
Hmm. So it does have some international application as well then?
Yes, it does.
So if I'm certainly not, you know, a subject matter expert in this area, but if you talk to anyone about any specific type of a topic, they're going to say, well, you know, that there's a weakness in this, there's something missing in that, there should be developed and moved and changed. And is there something that, you know, SCAP doesn't include or it should include or in its evolution will be discussed and maybe incorporated into the standard?
Sure. Today, SCAP really is based on assessing systems only. There's a related effort underway to develop remediation specifications that will address affecting changes to systems. So doing initial configuration of the system or bringing the system into compliance with a given security policy. So another area is that SCAP doesn't really address, it addresses the exchange of information between two products, but it really doesn't address the network protocols that are used to exchange that information. So we're working with international standards development organizations to develop protocol specifications in that area so that we can achieve greater interoperability with tools.
That's the fancy word that'll impress your neighbors, interoperability with different tools. Now, in the medical community, which I have a little bit of interest in, they have all kinds of committees and people talking about, you know, interoperating and standards and everything else. And for example, HL7 is a group that works on this, and there's a group that works with different kinds of healthcare interop. Do you work with these groups as well, or is this kind of separate?
We work with anyone who's willing to, you know, to come to the table and participate. We host and attend a variety of different working group meetings, and we get participants from a variety of different industries, a variety of different sectors.
Sounds like a very reasonable approach here, doesn't it? Doesn't sound like this is a haphazard, you know, in the back of an envelope as you're driving into work. I mean, this has evolved over many years, and you try to incorporate many different opinions and slowly and carefully move the standards to respond to the situations. I think that whole idea of standards development, moving, changing, it's people commenting on it, it gets kind of difficult and tricky if you're not careful. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's focus on this conference, the SCAP conference coming up in Baltimore, Maryland. And as everyone knows, October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and I guess you guys will be kicking off Cybersecurity Awareness in Baltimore, right into the Inner Harbor there, where I used to take my kids to that big old aquarium down there. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dave Waltermeyer, Security Automation Architect, Computer Security Division at NIST. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dave Waltermeyer, Security Automation Architect, Computer Security Division up at NIST. All those smart folks up there, they're putting on a conference in October, October 3rd. And what's the conference called again?
It's the IT Security Automation Conference.
Mm-hmm. And if you get your browser out there, you just type in SCAP Baltimore and it pops right up. It's the first one. I mean, if you go through all the permutations of the name of the conference and everything else. And I'll be there at the conference. I think it's great bringing together all kinds of different people, East Coast, West Coast. There's a guy named Chris Kemp. Who ran things up at NASA for a while. He's out on the West Coast. He's going to be there. Alan Paler, just up the street, he's going to be there. I mean, if you look at the people going to be there, you could probably just sit in the room and shut up for 3 days, and you got to get smarter, huh? I mean, there's so much talent in that room. You got to learn different things.
It's been a great event, a lot of great topics.
So every year you do this?
Yes, this is the eighth year that we've done it. Now, this year we're focusing more on continuous monitoring issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking about various strategies for implementing continuous monitoring. We'll be also having some sessions on using security automation tools and techniques to ease the technical burdens of policy compliance. We normally highlight a variety of different innovative uses of automation, essentially, to deal with enterprise and enterprise federal government and industry use cases.
If you want to get specific about the website, you can go to scap.nist.gov/events, and it has some information there and links to sites and everything else. You know, I looked at the agenda this morning, and you know, it's got a little session on malware hunting. I mean, that's a fun session. And it's got another session that people can talk about egregious software weaknesses. I mean, it almost sounds like a fun conference to go to, huh?
It does. We have a variety of different topic areas. You know, we're expecting maybe 500 attendees. Basically, anyone can attend the conference. We typically see attendees from government, industry, and private sector, and we've got sessions that you know, that address issues that are relevant to all of those different areas. We also have a decent number of international attendees, which I find interesting too.
I just named a couple of speakers, people participating. You want to mention some names and name drop? I guess that's what we're asking for. I guess there's people from DHS going to be there, people from NIST, all kinds of folks, huh?
Yes. We have a couple of interesting keynote speakers also from government. We have Mark Weatherford, Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity for the National Protection and Programs Directorate at the Department of Homeland Security. And we have Deborah Plunkett. She's the Information Assurance Director at the National Security Agency.
Ooh, yeah. I had the NSA on once, and I had a woman on, and she had a security guard with her, and he recorded everything we said from the moment she walked in the studio to the moment she went out. So she was very careful. But it was a great interview, and NSA is very careful about what they say, so it'd be interesting to see what they have to say. So DHS, NIST, it looks like they're working together in this conference. Are you feuding? Is it like Hatfields and McCoys, or are you collaborating? Or give us a little about this little interchange between the information between you two folks.
Sure. We have a regular collaboration. We meet periodically to sync up our programs. When we deal with technical matters, we often have people involved in working groups that you know, that are representative of both agencies. We have a long history of publishing NIST IRs, special publications together. I've worked on a few, such as some of the CSERS FE publications that have been co-authored by DHS folks.
Well, I don't think NIST has got a monopoly on intelligence, and neither does DHS. But if you get enough people together in a room, you can even out the weaknesses, and somehow crowdsourcing or collaboration, I don't know whatever word you want to use, you're going to make progress because of other people's strengths and weaknesses. Maybe someone from the commercial sector may have an insight that maybe NIST doesn't have, and maybe DHS can see something from a completely different perspective. So this is going to focus on continuous monitoring, and it's going to work on tools for compliance for continuous monitoring. Is that right? You're going to talk about tools?
Yes, we're going to talk about tools. There'll be some case studies, some agency case studies, essentially, where folks from various federal agencies will come in and talk about their experiences with implementing continuous monitoring. There'll be some discussion of standards that are being developed in the continuous monitoring area as well.
My car's in the shop. They had to get a part, and so I drove my son's car this morning. He's got an old car, and he's got hand crank windows, and he's got manual locks. There's no automated locks. And I was thinking, as I locked the car in my car, it's just beep, one button, all four get done. His car, you got to reach over and get all four buttons to lock the door. And I know it's old school, but he's a college kid, and that's kind of the way it is. I see the analogy directly applied to automation. So if you have a checklist of servers that you're checking manually to go through to find out if it's patched and maybe find out what kind of services it has going on with it, it just seems that automating that would make it more efficient in of itself. And so if I can lock my car doors with one button, it's going to be quicker than four buttons. And so I think in terms of computer security, an automated manner would reduce the time to manage these vulnerabilities. It's got to. I mean, this is one of the big advantages of using a tool, isn't it?
Certainly. And security professionals have a very tough job these days. And to some degree, by automating some of these capabilities, we're allowing, you know, computers to do what they do well and humans to do more of what they do well. And so our hope is that through these automation technologies that computer security professionals will be able to really focus on the highly relevant, high payoff security activities and allow an automation infrastructure to essentially execute on their decisions.
I think humans have learned over the years that if you can automate something, let it be automated, and a human can use more analytical skills on measuring that automation and measuring the security. So if you reduce the time to manage vulnerabilities, then it all of a sudden gives you more time to improve your measurement of that security, doesn't it?
Certainly. And interoperability is an interesting aspect here as well. We talked about that earlier. One of the challenges that security professionals have today is they often have to go to multiple tools to do that analysis. And by providing greater interoperability on a low-level communications level within the tools, allowing them to exchange information freely, you know, with the appropriate access controls, it essentially allows an analyst to look at a single screen and to aggregate and analyze information in one place.
We had Horace Blackman on from the VA a couple weeks back, and he's got a small pilot project and trying to manage mobile devices. And I said, how many folks are over there? He said, 400,000. 400,000? I mean, you have to come up with some kind of a policy to manage the mobile devices, and how have other people done it, and what are the weaknesses, what are the strengths, what about this product, multiple products, single product, how do you measure it, how do you evaluate it? I mean, it's very difficult. And one of the, I think one of the aspects of this conference is going to be on BYOD, isn't it? It's going to talk about managing mobile devices. So if you're listening to the show, pulling your hair out, trying to figure out what policy you should have at this conference, you can show up and find out how other people have done it.
Certainly. And so, you know, BYOD brings interesting challenges. You know, a lot of what we're trying to do today is working with managing the security properties of devices that are, you know, very, very much under control of the enterprise. But BYOD brings devices that are not under control. You know, the same thing with consumer applications, a user accessing his bank account information. The bank doesn't necessarily have control over that device. And And so I think there's a definite need for development of standards that help solve some of those problems so that we can communicate the required security policies to those mobile devices, assess their health, help them change their configurations appropriately so that they can access the services that they need to.
And as my listeners will testify, you know, whether or not your agency has a policy, employees are going to bring in their own devices. I mean, you can pound and scream, but 400,000 people, what are you going to make a policy? And there's got to be people going to bring this in and test and probe. And I think maybe if looking at it from a security perspective, maybe other agencies, organizations can give you a heads up or a maybe there's a white paper at NIST that they can point you to that'll help you create your own policy for your own agency.
Yes, we have a guide to securing mobile devices that is on the Computer Security Resource Center, csrc.nist.gov.
Great. Let's take a break. We come back, talk a little bit about blogs, talk more about SCAP, and maybe a little bit about the conference coming up here. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Dave Waltermeyer, Security Automation Architect, Computer Security Division at NIST. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dave Waltermeyer, Security Automation Architect, Computer Security Division up at NIST. No, we're not talking about the smart folks up at NIST, but we are talking about a conference coming up in October. And surprise to me, I didn't realize that October was National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and this is promoted by the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Do you work with those folks much? Are they based here in town?
I believe so. I don't personally work with
them.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that. I've heard of all kinds of alliances and associations in town, but not that one. So first week in October, 3-day event up in Baltimore, so it's close, easy to get to. If you look at the agenda online, you get swamped. I mean, there's six different tracks, and they're running parallel. There's sessions all day long for 3 days, getting people in from the UK, from organizations like MITRE, US CERT, SANS Institute's going to be there. It's a pretty wide, and the folks from NIST as well, it's a pretty wide grouping of people, aren't there?
Certainly. We're trying to provide the richest experience from a content perspective as possible for this event. We've gotten complaints in the past about the fact that the agenda is so full that people can't decide essentially what track.
It's like, there's three desserts. I don't know which one. I don't want the cherry pie or the chocolate cake. Can you imagine complaining about that?
That's a good problem to have. But certainly we're trying to focus on some of the most immediately relevant areas facing IT security today in the security automation area. And we're trying to provide a wide range of choices that that touch on some of the different areas of practice.
I've been doing the show for about 6 years now, and I know my listeners, and many of my listeners are Generation Y listeners. You know, they're under 35, and they may be listening to this when there's snow on the ground at 2 o'clock in the morning while they're doing some project for work. And inevitably, they want information different from the way I want information. I want a piece of paper, book, and carry it on and read it. But some of my listeners read blogs. Some of them have Twitter handles and follow Twitter accounts. Some of them connect to people on LinkedIn. What about blogs? Is there a blog that you write, or is there a blog that you might want to suggest for my listeners to get more information about NIST and this whole idea of SCAP?
Unfortunately, no. I wish I had one. Blogs are a very time-consuming thing, my work has pulled me in other directions.
Oh, I mean, no obligation. I just didn't know if there's a good one you recommend or is one. I have a blog at my company called Armature, and I'll be blogging about this interview, and I'll be blogging about the conference. I hope to go up there, spend a couple days, and learn as much as I can. I've had people in here from the Department of State. I've had people in here from DHS and NIST, and I don't know if these people compete with each other, or if they work with each other, or there's certain groups that like each other, don't like each other. I'm an outsider, so I really don't understand it. So I read about the State Department. They have something called iPost. I read about DHS, and they have something called Situation Awareness and Risk Scoring. And is this all a collaborative venture? Are these people going down their little rabbit holes? Or how does this all coordinate? How does this all work together with NIST?
Right. So, you know, these are all different technical, very related technical approaches. What you were talking about at DHS is CSERS, the Continuous Asset Evaluation, Situational Awareness, and Risk Scoring Framework.
Whew, that's a whole mouthful, it's, huh?
It is. It is. We've been working with DHS to update the CSERS framework. We've created something called the CSERS Framework Extension. If you're interested in learning more about that, you can read NIST IR 7756 on the csrc.nist.gov site. And essentially, it defines techniques for using a standards-based approach to doing continuous monitoring.
You know, I just wrote a biography of Julius Caesar. I should have seen the acronym here. I didn't see it. It's obvious, though.
Yes. And so you asked about the State Department. So what they were doing there was they were using various data collection techniques to collect and aggregate relevant security information to apply a scoring methodology to that information to prioritize security activities for systems and network engineers to perform. A lot of what we're doing with CSERS FE is essentially doing that same kind of work using broadly adopted standards that allow a variety of different commercial solutions to be brought to bear to do basically those kinds of things.
If you look at different federal agencies, for example, I have some people at IRS, they're probably more focused domestically. If you just look at the State Department, well, I think their focus has to be, you know, different time zones, different countries, different people moving. Are there drastic different security concerns between these agencies and between international and national threats? So each agency really has to write the rules a little bit differently?
To some degree, yes. You know, some agencies are very centralized in how they manage their security programs. Other agencies are very distributed in how they do that. Some have very heterogeneous systems. Some have very homogeneous systems. So, depending on those different factors, how they implement a technical infrastructure to do security may vary greatly. What we're trying to do from a standards approach is develop the data standards that are necessary to give organizations, both federal and private, because these same challenges do exist in the private sector as well. Options for implementing security infrastructure that meets the needs of their organizations.
Let me ask you an unusual question here. Just from a user's perspective, is there software that you use to manage standards to help you create, comment, ratify, and publish these standards? Because it's kind of a dynamic type of a community where people chip in and new things change and they move along very like a collaborative way. Is there any software to use for that?
No, we do document creation the good old fashioned way. We use word processors. We use some XML tools to develop schemas and example content. We use some software development integrated development environments as well to do things like prototypes and reference implementations. But no, there's nothing really specialized to the standards development process.
I'm just thinking of with an increased interest in mobile devices and collaborating, and this conference is coming up, and there's a lot of people there, and it just seems like managing standards is a very important I think aspect of this whole process, and people have to think about new ways to manage all this idea of publishing and commenting back and forth. And it's not like it doesn't go in one direction, does it? It kind of goes left and right and left and right, and all of a sudden they reach at the destination. But it's kind of a circuitous route rather than a direct route in just establishing these standards here. Baltimore, October 3rd. For information, you can go to your Google and type in Baltimore SCAP SCAP. You know, when I looked at the agenda, I see it's all kinds of interesting things. One interesting thing is the egregious software weaknesses. They're going to be talking about egregious software weaknesses. In other words, if I buy a product off the shelf and I put it in my system, there's obvious weaknesses there that I should know how to patch or avoid or erase or delete. Or what does that mean?
Well, my interpretation of that is, you know, there's a variety of network based vulnerabilities that that are well known within software that have been known for years, and a lot of organizations are essentially getting killed because they're unable to to address patching essentially for those vulnerabilities. I would call that egregious. Part of what we're trying to do from a security automation perspective is to give the tools that are necessary to monitor and fix those types of issues.
You know, if you own a Ford Explorer, you get little notes from Ford saying, hey, there's a problem with the seatbelt or something, and they try to correct it. So what you're saying is there's some software vendors that are out there. They sell software, and they might even be aware of a weakness in it. They're still selling it anyway for whatever reason. It's like selling a bad car or something.
Well, it may be also that organizations have delays in releasing patches to address those software. So organizations are faced to implement compensating controls or mitigating controls to address them. It could be that because of testing requirements, there's delays in an organization applying a patch that's necessary to deal with a vulnerability. And again, some of the standards work that we're doing is trying to reduce the timescales that are required to perform those kinds of activities.
And it tries to help limit egregious software weaknesses while they do behind standards, huh?
Basically improve overall network hygiene.
Great. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about this conference, some of the tracks that are available, including stuff like incident handling and trusted computing. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dave Waltermeyer, Security Automation Architect, Computer Security Division at NIST. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Dave Waltermeyer, Security Automation Architect, Computer Security Division from NIST. We're talking about continuous monitoring and security and mobile devices and a conference that's coming up in October. As everyone knows by now, that October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and part of that, I assume, is the October 3rd conference up in Baltimore. If you want to have more information on NIST and the security conference, you can go to your Google browser and type in Baltimore SCAP, S-C-A-P, and the site pops right up. A lot of my listeners, enjoy Twitter, and they have their iPhones, and they watch Twitter to see what's going on. Do you have a Twitter handle? Do you follow anyone? Or what kind of recommendations do you have in that area of social media?
Yeah, so NIST uses Twitter to publicize and support conversations during conferences and workshops. We use at usnistgov to accomplish that.
USNISTGov, all the letters together, yeah.
Right. We also have a Facebook page. It's Facebook/the4NIST.
Huh. I didn't know that, a Facebook page. So will there be live tweeting from the conference? I love that. Live tweeting in the back of the room. John Gilroy.
There will be.
It brings it more. I had a breakfast club in town here for 4 years, and people would be tweeting from the back of the room about what's going on in the front of the room, and this guy says this, and it's always interesting. Breaking news, T.K. Kianini says, don't worry about your mobile devices. Breaking news.
I mean, it's fun to watch that.
Yeah. It's almost like a ticker tape. You know, New York City, you see that ticker tape going by, and you watch, and if you can't go to the conference, you can monitor it through the NIST, through the Twitter feeds. Interesting. All of my guests are subjected to a 10-question test to find out if they are card-carrying nerds. Everyone takes this test, and I'm going to have to subject you to it here, Dave. So question is, what year did you buy your first computer?
1982. It was a 82. Commodore 64.
Ooh, you're older than I thought. Really, huh? Wow. You were your first cell phone?
Right out of college in 1996.
96. Well, that's a pretty fancy ladder. Right out of college. Most college kids are broke. And do you have a Twitter feed?
I don't.
Okay. Do you have your own blog?
I don't.
The computer's not going to like this. Do you use any personal backup for your online information?
As a security professional, I'm pretty leery about having my data be somewhere else outside of my control. I have a SAN at home that I do backups to, and I also write content to DVDs, essentially, to archive it.
Well, from a security perspective, winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's the right answer, I guess. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I use a BlackBerry at work.
BB. Wow, it's the first one in a while. Interesting. Yeah. And a number of apps on your... I don't know if it has apps or not.
Not so much.
Yeah. Okay.
I do have a tablet that has dozens of apps on it.
What kind of tablet do you have?
It's an Android tab.
Android, okay. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
I have accounts on Facebook and LinkedIn, but I don't often use them.
Mm-hmm. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
It was paper.
Paper, oh. You get all kinds of good points for your NAS at home, but the paper, you're as bad as me. I'll have to put this through my UNIVAC computer in my basement, and I will print out a report on the green bar paper and mail it to you in the U.S. mail. How's that for old-fashioned? Find out where you rank on the nanometer scale, see if you're high or low or up there with Ron Ross and all those cognoscenti or not. So October 3rd, big conference coming in. You can follow it on Twitter. We just gave you a way to do that. There's blogs available to learn more about it. Continuous monitoring. I guess this is a big transition in general. If you look at, you know, trends the last 10 years, I guess people looked at more static-type monitoring and look at more continuous monitoring because threats have changed over the years. And now you have to worry about, you know, continuous monitoring the cloud and continuous monitoring on-premises servers. So are those the big categories for monitoring, or what are the big general categories for monitoring?
No, those are certainly two of the most important categories that we're facing for continuous monitoring. And we're working on applying security automation techniques in both areas.
I asked you during the break about this abbreviation CM framework. So one of the discussions is going to be on CM framework. What's that CM stand for?
It's continuous monitoring.
Makes sense, doesn't it, CM? So a framework for continuous monitoring, maybe the cloud or continuous monitoring on-site premises.
Yeah, generally when you're talking about continuous monitoring frameworks, it's a suite of standards and techniques and processes essentially that you're applying to continuous monitoring. At NIST, we have a publication, a special publication, 800-137, that addresses some of the processes and techniques for continuous monitoring. We've also developed some specifications around continuous monitoring, NIST IR 7756.
When I think of tools, I think of my toolbox in the basement with my 9/16 wrench in it, and I've got little odds and ends, different types of screwdrivers and different tools to help me fix stuff around the house. And so what this conference is essentially it's opening up the world of different tools to allow the participants to figure out which tools to put in the toolbox. This works for this, this works for that. Here's my experience with BOID. Here's my experience with putting together some kind of framework that works. Oh, you don't understand. I'm at DHS. I have these strictures. So it's almost like picking out what tool to put in your toolbox to make your system secure.
Sure. In the continuous monitoring track, we'll be offering information about tools, lessons learned, strategies that organizations can use to improve their continuous monitoring program. We'll also offer management techniques and strategies. We'll be discussing some of the latest policies and procedures that apply to the continuous monitoring space. We'll be highlighting various automated technical solutions, and we'll be talking about various means to implement continuous monitoring with the appropriate checks and balances within organizations.
I'm all for reading blogs, all for reading books, and listening to interviews on the radio. But you know, when I'm at a conference, I'm looking at someone, and someone makes a statement, and I get a lot of subtleties in their eyes and the turn of their head, and all of a sudden, a lot more is communicated than just on a piece of paper. And all of a sudden, I understand, oh, so that's the problem he really had with the Android system on his network. And sometimes, you know, I guess humans communicate different ways. And sometimes a tilt of the eye or a nod or some kind of implication, it communicates more than writing it, doesn't it?
It does. You know, one of the challenges for communicating electronically is the aspect of context.
Right.
So much information, you know, just like if you're listening to someone and you're not able to see their facial expressions, you don't have the entire context, essentially, of what they're saying. Electronically, you have the same problem. Information is often exchanged outside of context. And a lot of what we're trying to do in the security automation area with SCAP, with continuous monitoring, is provide the relevant security context and associate it with the information that we're exchanging.
So let's say if you take text out of context, you get pretext, or you get problems, really. That's what
right.
You get. And I think that's what's interesting is that you can go to this conference, pick and choose What other aspect? You know, everyone listening has a certain problem that they're figuring out and try to ask and stumble down. And or 6 months from now, by the way, Dave, you're going to be in charge of XYZ in 6 months, and you better have an answer, and you're trying to figure out answers. And I think if you go to a conference where other people who are in similar positions to yours have encountered the same problems and they show how they've overcome those problems, boy, that's ABCD learning for me.
Absolutely.
Crystal ball time. Where's this whole idea of automated security going in 5 years? Are going to be robots doing it, or humans doing it, or where's it going to be heading?
So a lot of what we're doing is today is essentially creating the plumbing that is needed to support real-time situational awareness and to provide a firm foundation for advanced data analytics. You know, we're essentially trying to free the security data. And, you know, it's my hope that we will have robust, broadly adopted international standards and continuous monitoring solutions based on these standards in 5 years. I suspect that we'll be taking quite a bit, or we'll be talking quite a bit about various analytical models, and we'll be exploring some advanced use cases that are made possible by the technical foundations, like things like SCAP. We'll be looking more at dynamic configuration management use cases, where IT platforms will be regularly refreshed and constantly changing based on digital policies.
I like the idea of freeing security data. When Todd Park was in the studio, he talked about data liberacion, liberating data. In the healthcare IT, it's important. In security, it's important. It's important, this concept of transparency seems to be important, because everyone's going to benefit at the end.
That's right.
Good. Well, thank you for the interview. We're going to have to interview now, and I hope everyone learns more about security and maybe attends the conference. More information, scap.nist.gov/events. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dave Waltermeyer, Security Automation Architect, Computer Security Division at NIST.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.